Well, are you ready for God's word today? I'm excited to bring it. And we're continuing this series on spiritual disciplines. This is part six. It's our final episode in this series. And I want to talk to you today about finding strength in stillness. God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And the scripture says in Psalm 46, verse 10, to be still and know that I am God. Sounds so simple, right? Just be still and let all the cares and the worries of this life fade away. But how many of you know we live in a world of chaos and constant noise? So many things trying to steal your attention, distract you from the purpose and plan that God has on your life, and get you to focus on things that really don't matter instead of focusing on the things that do matter. We live in a world of constant noise. And I find it interesting because the word noise comes from the same root word that means nausea. Nausea causes dizziness or is the result of dizziness, or nausea results in dizziness or unsteadiness, even seasickness. And I remember a number of years ago, our family was on vacation and we decided we would do a half day fishing excursion. And so my two brothers and I and a few of our kids, we went out on a boat, had this excursion. They took us out. It was a beautiful day. We rowed out to sea and we had this plan. We were gonna catch some amazing fish. And so the captain found this spot. We all dropped our lines and we were ready to catch them. Well, I noticed my one nephew, he was maybe 14 at the time, very athletic, always up for anything. He was just sitting on a bench while the rest of us were fishing. So I looked over at him and I started to notice he was looking a little bit pale. And so I asked him, I said, "Are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah." A few minutes later, he stands up, leans over the side of the boat, and he shows a lot of evidence of seasickness. Let's just say it that way. And for the next 4 hours showed evidence of seasickness until we finally got back on the shore and on solid ground. He started to feel a little bit better. Well, later that day, someone asked him and said, "Hey, do you want to go fishing again next year?" And my nephew with a completely straight face said, "I would rather die than ever step foot on another fishing boat." Seasickness is legit. It's not a virus. It's not a bacterial infection. It's caused by unsteadiness or the swaying or a rocking of the boat when your feet are not steady. And just like that can cause nausea and that nausea can cause more unsteadiness, it's the same way in our lives. Noise in our lives can actually cause unsteadiness. That busyness in life can cause so much noise and it can make us feel unsteady or dizzy. And you might be in a very busy season right now and you're trying to figure out, how can I get off this busy treadmill? You know, maybe you have kids that are in sports and you have their school schedule, and maybe you're working multiple jobs trying to make ends meet, and you're serving at church and you have all this, you know, all kinds of responsibilities in your life. Add to that all of the noise of the news in our world, natural disasters, social challenges, the economy, inflation's up. Add all of that together, and it can make you feel kind of nauseous. And here's the good news. You can find strength and stability from a place of stillness. And that word stillness means unhurried, unrushed, the absence of motion, solitude. You can find strength from this place of stillness. You might be wondering, well, where is this place of stillness? That place of stillness only comes from the Lord. The Lord is your sanctuary, your place of quiet in a noisy world. And I want you to find this place. Go to Psalm 27, verse 4. David writes this psalm, and he was known as a man after God's own heart. And he wrote this, and if you know anything about David's life, his life was full of chaos. He had lots of opportunities to be unsteady. And here's how he managed it. Verse 4 says this, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, What is it? It's to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. David knew he had this focus. He was dialed in on one thing, the thing that would keep him centered in life, the thing that where he would find strength. And it was a discipline for him. What was that one thing? To live in the house of the Lord forever, to seek his presence. You read that in another translation, it says to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to contemplate or to meditate in his temple. It means to think about it again and again and again, to be consumed with God's presence. I don't know about you, but I wanna be more like David. I wanna follow his example in this because I know I need that in my life. But what does that mean for my other responsibilities? Does that just mean I ignore my responsibilities in life? I mean, if Kelly would come to me and say one day, you know, Matt, could you please take the trash out? A good response is not to say, no thanks, I'm too busy living in the house of the Lord. I'm just gonna dwell, gaze upon his beauty. I don't have time to take out the trash. You know what she would say to me? She'd probably say something like, well, you live in this house and the trash needs to be taken out. So come back to the real world. Here's the point. You can face whatever comes your way. You can handle it when you've made the Lord your refuge. I love what David writes. He says, he will conceal me when troubles come. Do you know what that means? He will keep you in peace. He will keep you calm when all hell breaks loose. Oh, David writes, the Lord is my sanctuary. He'll hide me in his sanctuary. Do you know what that means? Trouble may be around you, but it doesn't have to get in you. You can find strength from a place of stillness. The Lord is your sanctuary, your place of quiet in a very noisy world. So how do you access this? How do we make this a discipline in our lives? Number one, I want to encourage you to do this. Here's where we'll start. It will require you to withdraw from the noise. Pause from the busyness of life. Learn how to quiet your mind. You know, Jesus had to do this. He had to withdraw from the noise. You read the Gospels, you would see he was busy. In Mark's Gospel specifically, you would see he goes from one thing to the next. He was always teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. He was healing people. He was casting out demons. He was discipling his disciples, mentoring them, always teaching them, showing them how to follow him. He was constantly busy. In one place in Mark chapter 1, he records this incident where Jesus taught in the synagogue on a Sabbath. Then he was healing people all day. And then at night, Mark's gospel says the whole crowd of the village came out to watch Jesus heal people and cast out demons. That would have been a tiring day. And here's how he handled that busy day. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says this. Before daybreak, meaning the next day, before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was me, I would not be getting up before daybreak the next day. I would want to sleep in and say, nobody bother me, please leave me alone. I had a long day yesterday, I just need to be by myself. I wanna sleep and rest and probably eat something. But that's not what Jesus did. He got up early before daybreak and he went to a quiet place, an isolated place to pray. He needed this strength, so he needed to go to this place of stillness. He needed to withdraw from the noise. And so when he was in that place, the disciples came and were looking for him and they said, everybody's looking for you. And you know how Jesus responded to that? He didn't say, are you serious? Get them away. I just need a break from all these people. All their sickness is so annoying. No, he didn't say that. He stayed in a quiet place for a little while, but he did not avoid people then. He went back to disciples and he said, it is time for us to go to the next village, for there are more people to preach and teach to, and there are more people to heal, for that is the purpose for which I came. So not only did Jesus find strength from stillness, he also found clarity and direction for his life. And if Jesus needed to get away, if he needed to withdraw from the noise to find strength and clarity and direction for his life, how much more do you and I need to do that? If you're in a place where you need direction, if you're feeling some confusion and experiencing confusion in your life, don't just keep doing the same thing day after day after day on this treadmill. Withdraw from the noise. Find a place to quiet your mind and find peace from the presence. Let the Lord be your sanctuary. You know what that will lead to? Number two, it leads to this place where you can trust the Lord to direct your steps. You know the Lord wants you to know his plan for your life. Psalm 37, verse 23 is this simple, powerful promise. It says this, Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He directs the steps and delights in every detail of their lives. And who is this group that the Lord promises to do this? The godly. So it's really important that we're in that group. If you want the Lord to direct your steps, it's important to be in that group of the godly. He promises he will direct and he delights in every detail of your life. This is what happened to Jacob in the Old Testament. You can read about him in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the father of faith. He was the son of Isaac. But Jacob was causing trouble in his home. He was making a lot of bad decisions. And Isaac had to send him away. Jacob actually deceived his father. He stole the birthright inheritance from his brother, and Esau was so mad at him, his brother was mad at him, that he tried to kill him. And so Isaac said, it's time for you to leave home. And he sent him away. It was a very dark time for Jacob. I can imagine that he would have felt very bad about some of his decisions that he made, and wondering if he'd ever be loved or welcomed back and accepted by his family again. And he went out to this deserted place. He was by himself. He set up camp. And he was all alone, and he fell asleep one night. And as he fell asleep, he had a dream. And in those days, God often spoke to his people through dreams. And in his dream, he had a picture of a stairway that went from earth to heaven. And at the top of this stairway was a man. And then this man began to speak to Jacob in his dream. And in this dream, the man said, I am the Lord your God, the God of your grandfather, Abraham, and of your father, Isaac. And then he began to give Jacob direction for his life. He said, I will bless you. I will guide you. I will be with you. I will protect you. And I will be with you until every promise that I have given you has been fulfilled. And the text tells us that Jacob kind of startled from his sleep, from this dream. And he said, this is an awesome place. And that word awesome doesn't mean, oh man, this is totally awesome. That word awesome means he was terrified by this dream. Because he knew, he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. In Jacob's darkest hour, when he was all alone, when he did things that he did not deserve God's mercy and grace, the Lord met him there. And he found strength in this place of stillness. Not only did he find strength, he found direction, and it changed the direction and the course of his life. Years later, after Jacob began to follow the plan that God had for his life and to fulfill those promises, he ends up back in this same place where he had that encounter with the presence of the Lord. And the Lord met him again, revealed himself, said, I am El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. We get another little glimpse of who God is in this encounter that he had with Jacob. And then God changes Jacob's name. He said, your name is Jacob, which means liar, deceiver. So I'm going to change you. I'm going to give you a new name. This new name is Israel, which means Prince of God. He said, be fruitful and multiply. There will be kings as your descendants. And you know who one of the descendants of Jacob was? Years and years and years later, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. When every time I read about Jacob, I see how only God can transform a human heart. Only God can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of compassion and love. Only God can bring clarity when somebody's dealing with a lot of confusion. And it comes from that still small voice. God wants to give you direction. He wants to speak to you, but it's very difficult to hear God's voice in your life when the noise of your life is so loud. I found even in my own life, the times where God has spoken most clearly to me is in the middle of the night, because that's when the Lord has my complete and full attention. Because my life is busy, just like yours is. It's very easy for me to get distracted in life. But I want to be in that. I want to find that direction and clarity. And it comes from that place of stillness. It comes from that place of quiet. So if you need direction in your life, I would encourage you to find that place of stillness. Tune in to his voice and he'll give it to you. And you might be sitting here thinking, man, I would love that. But you know, every time I try to hear God's voice, all I hear is silence. Have you ever had that experience? Well, I'm here to remind you that silence does not imply God's absence. Often silence means these three simple words: stay the course. God has not abandoned you, just like he didn't abandon Jacob. So don't abandon the direction that God has given you. God has given us the instructions in his scripture, his word to direct us, his spirit to make it personal in our lives. Don't abandon the instructions God has given you, because God has not abandoned you. Stay the course. It's kind of like when you know, if you've ever used the Maps GPS, that Maps app on your phone. Every time I use that, you know, if I'm going someplace that's unfamiliar, I put in the destination, put in the address, hit go. And then I have to trust that whatever the route is, and I pick the one that's the fastest, of course, right? Whatever the route is, I have to trust that that will get me to the final destination. But there are some times when I'm using that app, and I'm in unfamiliar territory, that I can start to question, is this really leading me to the place I need to go? And I wish these Maps app, when you're in new territory, I wish they would have a feature where along the way they would say, you got this, Matt. Don't give up. You're on the right track. But they don't have that. So you have to trust the route it gives you and stay on course. And here's the thing, here's the good news. Even if I do get off course, even if I do take a wrong turn, in this app's grace and mercy, they will get me back on track with that one simple but powerful word. You know what it is? Recalculating. That's what brings me comfort. You know, it's the same way in the life of faith. If you get off track on the direction that God has given you, you can count on him to recalculate to get you back on track. And so my encouragement to you is stay the course. Trust that the Lord will direct your steps and stay the course. Oh, this will get tested in our lives. I know it will. It has in my own life. I remember 6 or 7 years ago when it was announced to our congregation, to our church, that I would be stepping into the role of lead pastor. I remember walking through that season so well, just like it was yesterday, but I felt pretty prepared for it. I worked very closely with Pastor Sam. He was our founding pastor, served 40 years as our pastor and was transitioning out of that role. And as I was stepping into this role, I felt there was a peace inside. I knew it was God, what God was calling me to do and to step into this new role. And for the most part, I felt prepared for it on one hand. But then on the other hand, I dealt with some insecurity and I did feel some uncertainty about, unsure. Can I really do this role? The thing was, I never had any lead pastor experience. I was a worship pastor for 10 years prior to that. And so as I was dealing with those, you know, thoughts of uncertainty or insecurity, you know, it wasn't uncommon for me to kind of compare to Pastor Sam, compare myself, because Pastor Sam was this strong, visionary leader. I kind of have a laid-back personality, if you haven't noticed. Pastor Sam, he's this dynamic preacher. He knows how to get you fired up. And I just kind of stand here and talk and, you know, try to help you understand the scripture and apply it to your life. And so there was a time in there that I was dealing with insecurity, and I'd have these thoughts come in saying, man, you don't have what it takes. You're not gonna be able to do this. You should just give it up. You probably didn't even know I was doing that. I was experiencing that, right? And so I remember I was dealing with that, and then after service, I was talking to an older gentleman from our church, been in our church many years, and he came up to me, and he said, Matt, there are some people talking, and they don't think you can fill Pastor Sam's shoes. And I was like, man, that's the last thing I need to hear right now. But I knew that I couldn't fill Pastor Sam's shoes. I wasn't even trying to fill his shoes. But I had to do in that moment, I had to do what I'm asking you to do. I had to withdraw from the noise, trust what the Lord had directed my steps, trust and stay the course. And I'm so grateful for this church who has stood by me, especially in that time of transition. You don't know how much it meant to me to have people standing by me through that. And even today, I still have to remind myself, when temptations come in to doubt, you don't have what it takes, when those voices come in, I have to get rid of those voices, remove those thoughts and replace them with thoughts of scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And when I stand up here to bring God's word to you, I have to remind myself, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of the living God living in me. And I'm sharing that with you because if I can do that, you can do it too. Whatever you may be facing in life, stay the course. You might be in a challenging parenting time right now. Stay the course. You might be feeling overwhelmed in your financial situation. Stay the course. You may be experiencing some challenges in your business because inflation is up and the economy seems uncertain. Stay the course. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. He will direct the steps of the godly. He delights in the details of your life. When you brought your life under the authority of Scripture, when you have this relationship with a personal God who delights in the details of your life, He will direct your steps. Trust and stay the course. Amen. Do you receive that today? I pray that you do. That's how you're gonna find strength and stability in a place of stillness. And I wanna invite you to stand. So I don't know what you may be facing. Simple chorus that Daniel's gonna lead simply just says, Lord, I need you. I don't know what specifically you need from the Lord. And maybe you don't even know what you need from the Lord. But by just simply praising and worshiping, saying, Lord, I need you, that covers it all. Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to have the same determination David had. One thing I seek, live in the house of the Lord. Make the Lord my sanctuary. Meditate on his goodness and on his faithfulness. Gaze upon his beauty. God, turn off our phones, turn off our technology, turn off the noise in our lives, God, and quiet our minds in your presence. God, I pray that we would have the courage to do that and then wait patiently. Be brave, be courageous, wait patiently for the Lord. And you receive that today. Amen. Would you just stay in this attitude of prayer? I don't want anyone moving. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I'm gonna give you that opportunity right now. Maybe God's been tugging on your heart. Or maybe it's more than a tug. Maybe it's like a megaphone saying, it's time. It's time to surrender your life to Jesus. And scripture says, and Jesus actually said this, if you wanna be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, turn from your selfish ways, and follow him. That might sound like us, painful and sacrifice and suffering, but really that decision will lead you to the greatest place of peace and joy. Because you know that God has an amazing plan for your life, and you are no longer under the power of sin. And so we repent of our sins, receive forgiveness for them, and then live in that place of God's mercy and grace. And so if you'd like to make that decision today, I wanna lead you in a prayer. I'm just gonna invite you to repeat it after me, and it's a prayer of decision, prayer that sets you on a new direction for your life. So would you just bow your heads? And if that's you, I'm gonna invite you to say this out loud. And actually, I'm gonna invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I repent of my sin. I turn from my selfish ways, and I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Today, in Jesus' name, amen. That's the power of the gospel, and that power, that's the only thing that has the power to change someone's life. If you prayed that prayer, made that decision, the ushers have a gift for you. There's a Bible and some other material. If you made that decision, whether you prayed it for the first time or you know you needed to recommit your life to the Lord, would you have the courage just to put your hand up in the air until an usher sees you, unashamed of this decision? Because in that Bible or in that gift, there's a Bible, some other material, there's a card in there. And I wanna invite you to stop by our connections room after the service. We have a team there that would love to meet with you and talk with you, pray with you, because this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. I think I saw a couple hands today. Can we celebrate the people who made decisions? I wanna encourage you to go to connections. We'd love to walk with you to the best way that we can. All right. Well, we'll have a prayer team down front too. If you need prayer for any reason, please feel free to come. We'd love to pray with you. And if you are new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. We'd love to help you get connected. Are you thankful for God's word today? And I really pray that it encourages you and challenges you in your faith and helps you grow. So before you go, I wanna just mention next week, we start a brand new series. We're diving into the book of Hebrews. We're gonna go through that whole book. So I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you have a great week. But never forget that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what he can do through you. Have a great rest of your day.